almost 50.
Y'all been saying I'm almost 50 since I was 25. For 10 years. Anyways, like I was saying, we're back with another hour of the Chicken and Liquor Hour. The band is Keegan, quit writing stuff because your baby's crying in the background, so you don't want us to. The band is back together again. Doc's the name is here. Jan is in the building.
What up?
Now he would school me on Black History. That is, I don't know, maybe not. I know things. Like, do you know who the original Black Panthers are? The original Black Panthers?
Yeah, of course.
Who?
Like the activists?
Huey Newton and Bobby Seale.
Nope. Before that, during World War II, I want to say, it was the first Black, not the first Black, but there's a documentary on it right now that Morgan Freeman is doing. So
you just asked me a question that you don't know the answer to off the top of your head.
Yeah, but I know what the wrong answer is.
Okay.
Sometimes it's not about knowing what the right answer is. Sometimes it's about knowing that the answer is wrong. You're welcome.
I don't know how to respond.
Good. That's your problem. You need to learn how to respond. And then
tired and dead.
I do?
Oh, I do.
You've looked dead since 2016.
I've looked dead since I was born.
Well, I see two white people in here now. That's amazing.
Like, what's up, guys?
For the people that are listening and can't see, we're looking at Keek's daughter. The person who has turned him into a... Well, he was always a softie. Never mind. That's why they would...
Have you ever seen The Corpse Bride?
Yes.
The what? No, I haven't.
Movie The Corpse Bride. It does look like you should be in that movie.
Yeah, I'm fucking tired.
Dang,
you
called her a vampire. Yeah, your eyes look like shit, bro.
I've been working.
And your skin looks pale. You need to get in the sun, too. And then, like, your hair's not really all that great as well.
I think y'all are being a little disrespectful, and I think we need to rein it in.
Thank you.
You know what? You can rein these nuts in. That's what you can do, big boy.
What nuts?
Okay. Present them.
What? You won't. He said you won't. Keegan, are you around Black people still since you retired? Yeah, you're not around Black people anymore since retired.
Well, aside from like the maid and like the chef.
Oh, funny. We had to let them go. You know, I mean, we're not pulling in two salaries anymore, so might have to sell the timeshare in Charlottesville, but yeah. You know, we'll get by.
Actually, you know, if we was in Florida still altogether, we would now start making fun of Keegan and saying that he was in Montgomery, Alabama about 2 weeks ago on a ferry trying to hassle his Black man just trying to do his job, Keegan.
Jesus, that entire story just gets more and more ridiculous. Like, that day it happened or whatever, my friend sent me the video and I was like, oh, this is wild. And then the next day, like, more information came out. And then the next day, just ridiculous.
Well, I have a coworker who's from Alabama, and apparently white people that hang around, like, the river like that, they call them river rats.
River rats?
Right. That sounds like some kind of racist term, too. But they called river rats, apparently. So,
they're in the water?
Biters, too.
So, Keegan, we know where you were January 6th. Where were you? What was that? August?
Where were you on 9/11?
Oh my gosh. She's so dark, bro. She's so dark. Well, I saw a car driving the other day, right after that, and they had a folding chair like attached to the top of their car.
Extra.
That's so it's like, did you go buy that just to? And then, you know, at Walmart, they was out of folding chairs.
Oh my God. What are people buying folding chairs for?
Just to make funny, trying to make funny TikToks and Instagrams.
Oh, for that thing?
Oh, where has Janice been this whole conversation?
I've been right here.
Didn't she? Oh, for that thing?
No, like that fucking video of them beating up on those people at that pier.
Pier. Oh, she called it a pier.
My shit. Whatever.
She made it sound nicer when she called it a pier. That wasn't no pier. And that man smacked the hell out of her with that chair, boy. Like,
He was doing a lot. He was doing.
That's after he did that. That's when the police were like, "All right, bro, we weren't trying to arrest you.
You took it too far now."
Yeah,
he did that for all of us.
He did though.
That's who I want. That fictional person. That's who I want my therapist to be.
No man, he's real as fuck.
Right. Oh my. So all right. So do you know who you want your fictional who your therapist would be if you could pick any fictional character?
My therapist?
Sure. I'm going to pick Quagmire from Family
Guy. Why?
Canceled, dude. You're canceled. You know the character from Family Guy that's like, you're a big fat phony?
Like, you're a big fat phony.
You're canceled, man. You're canceled.
Janice is really up here thinking hard about who her therapist would be.
I had an answer, and I don't remember what it is.
What was you going to say, Ja'Cory?
I would pick Vision from the MCU.
Why?
That's a good one.
Because he's a really wise and, you know, insightful guy.
Which one's Vision?
Vision is the robot that had the mind...
Okay. Is that the one that's got the show? The Wanda?
Yeah.
WandaVision. Okay.
Yeah. I kept going back and forth. It's not the Soul Stone. It's the Mind Stone that he had attached to his skull.
What is his power?
He's a robot. He can go through walls.
Ooh.
He's very strong. And he's very...
knows everything, too.
Right? Oh, shoot. That's basically me. I'm very strong. And I know a lot of shit. Like,
through walls?
I don't let the walls stop me from getting to where I'm trying to go. I'll tell you that. I've known Kingy for this long, and I've still made it to where I'm trying to go because the Unabomber down there. You,
every day, my goal was to try and bring him down.
Unabomber?
The Unabomber or Will. Who are you trying to bring down, me or the Unabomber? Did they ever catch the Unabomber? You do have Unabomber vibes now, Keegan.
They haven't, but they will now.
Anyways, why would you pick him as your therapist?
I said he's smart. He's insightful. He'd be telling riddles.
You think that Unabomber is smart and insightful?
I thought we were still talking about Vision.
Why would you pick the Unabomber as your therapist, man? Well, he knows how to get away with things. He can show you how to get away.
He got caught.
But he was elusive for a while, wasn't he?
I don't know how long he was on the run for.
Unabomber. Let's see.
He got caught, I think, because his brother, identified some of the letters or, the handwriting.
Yep.
It's because he uses the phrase, eat your cake and have it too, instead of the other way around. And he put that in the letter. And his brother recognized it as that's something only he says.
Are you reading it right now, or did you just know that?
I know that. I know history, bitch.
Have more faith in us, goddamn.
Okay, I know history, so I know a lot about the Unabomber.
That's history.
You know what else is history? My time in Florida is history, but you don't know much about that, Playboy.
I mean, I was there for most of it. It was pretty uninspiring, so I mean, I'm a first-hand historical count of that.
I think it was a historic time, to be honest.
You failed to leave your mark down here.
The fact that y'all talking to me right now and I left something.
Well.
Yeah. Nah. Fuck boy.
We've got another group chat and we kind of do this just to it's more like a pat on the head, attaboy. You know how in high school when there's there's the loser everyone hates, but they sit with him at lunch to make sure he just feels.
He stays alive.
Or that he doesn't shoot up the school. Possibly that. Maybe Keegan, was you that kid?
No, I have friends, man. No.
Friends. You was the one running through the hallway.
We're literally his friends, Will.
We are workplace proximity acquaintances.
Man, I was best friends with the lunch ladies, okay?
They felt so bad for them. They used to give you an extra piece of chocolate cake, an extra slice of pizza.
And it showed too.
Yeah, you know, Keegan's actually the white blind side. He actually was taken in by a black family in the hood, but you like know, the rich part.
You know, he was that guy in real life was like under a conservatorship and they didn't actually adopt him. It's fucked up.
Yeah, you didn't
break. Yeah, they need to take away Sandy B's Oscar now.
Okay. All that right. seems like the least of the worries to take
her. No, that's a top worry.
That's the first thing. Well, I remember him saying years ago that he hated the movie because they embellished so much and made him look like he was a buffoon.
He straight up was like, yeah, that movie's bullshit.
But also, the movie makes it look like they taught him football when he was already like a huge star before they even met him.
Right. The little brother was like teaching him with what, the cups or something, trying to teach him how to.
they literally make it seem like he's barely incapable of doing anything unless his protective instincts are active, and then he's like an all pro.
What's your favorite white savior movie?
Oh, Freedom Riders, easily.
That's what I was gonna say.
What is that one about?
What, Freedom Riders?
Yes.
Basically a white woman teaching inner city urban youths to achieve more just by writing poetry and stories and writing about their life and their hard upbringings. And, her husband would be up with her grading papers and going to school events when they were supposed to celebrate their anniversary. But wow. little Hakeem and DeAndre needed her on Saturdays. And Maria, the daughter of a gangbanger, needed her to save her from the rival Crips gang, and she saved them. She put her life on the line. I went to the movies to go see that when that came out. I remember going sounds to see like
you
that
watched it recently
with Hilary Swank.
See, I almost said Sandra Bullock again because I get them too confused.
Hilary Swank and Sandra Bullock,
white women,
but Hilary Swank is nowhere near Sandra B, though.
True.
Sandra Bullock is Mexican, though, so.
Like, how much?
It don't matter. She's Mexican. And she was an executive producer of the George Lopez show, so.
No way.
She I really was.
George Lopez show.
I knew there was a reason to dislike her.
Oh, my God. What do you mean? It's a classic.
I can never watch that again. I remember I would be home for fall break or winter break, and that shit would come on Nick at Night 17 straight hours. Like, that shit was.
You know that shit is corny as hell too.
It really, yeah. It's yeah.
But anyway, back to me. We're focusing on me now.
Yes, the Unabomber.
So I'm gonna go in a slightly different direction with white savior movies, because in high school when I saw this, I loved it, and then I watched it like 6 years later in college and was like, oh my god, Last Samurai with Tom Cruise. I've talked about that movie before, and it's just like. There's some great set pieces. There's some money behind it, so it looks like a beautiful film, but like there's just some scenes later in the movie, both seeing it from that perspective where like it's this grizzled and depressed Civil War officer coming over and teaching the Japanese how to be modern and all this and fighting the old way, and then he becomes like enamored with the samurai because he's captured by them. And there's like a line later in the movie where he's talking with the main character and is like, I can think of nothing more than what this country needs is the samurai. And it's just so, it's so fucking stupid.
Dramatic.
Yeah, like overly sentimental and like, and naturally gets everything wrong about like the Satsuma Rebellion and how like they weren't fighting for like these reasons. And it was more about like, they didn't want to lose their place in society because it was an incredibly rigid structure of society, and they were like, hey, we've just had this place in society for 300 years that's incredibly beneficial to us, and we don't want to give it up. But in typical Hollywood fashion, you know, but there are some cool battle and just cool battle scenes, but yeah, that's 100% peak historical white saviorism.
Paul Mooney's joke about that movie.
I think you've either told me about this before. What is it?
He was Paul Mooney said, "Well, I got a movie. It's called The Last Negro on Earth, starring Tom Hanks."
Do you think Django Unchained is a white savior movie?
No.
No, I don't think of it that way.
So
the Passion of the Christ is.
We like Amy and I rewatched that a bit back.
Wait.
You have to appreciate that.
I gotta appreciate the Passion of the Christ being a white savior movie.
That was funny.
Thank you.
All right, go ahead, Kiki.
We rewatched that like probably a year or two ago, and as we were starting it, we talked about it like from that lens, and we didn't really like. One, we didn't feel like Tarantino was going to have those hallmarks of it. Like, if, you know, if anything, it's going to have his usual hallmarks where, you know, naturally he's a character in the movie just so he can say the N-word. And there's, you know, some feet shots and all that because, you know, he likes his feet. But I feel like they give Jamie Foxx's character enough agency and basically capability on his own to basically demonstrate like, oh, no, he's just like a natural bounty hunter and doing this and learning this and doing this.
The problem in that movie is Kerry Washington.
Oh, my wife says the problem with that movie is Kerry Washington and that she is, in fact, not given enough screen time or agency. So
wait a minute. The problem is her, or the problem is they didn't give her screen time?
I mean, the problem is her character, not her itself.
Why?
And just because she doesn't, I mean, she doesn't really, she's just like really a prop and she's barely in it. Like,
well, in my life, women are not props. So
I'm waiting for Amy to come back in the room to give me a look.
I'll just text him later.
Yeah.
I just didn't know women.
Shut up, Will.
Well, my problem with that movie is it was 3.5 hours long, and I've seen that movie like 9 times. So I've used up like 30 hours of my life watching that movie. And the best part—the best part of the movie—is Samuel Jackson. To me,
I like him in that.
Remember when?
That's a good 30 hours spent, man.
Remember when we would ask that they would ask the questions?
I was just about to bring that up.
Who's your favorite superhero? And I would say Django.
Because you were like, because he gets to kill slave owners.
Yeah, I think Django is a superhero movie because he kills slave owners and gets away and saves his wife.
And he's a natural born Deadshot. Like, that's a superpower.
Dang, so that really was a superhero movie. I'm gonna have to post it and see if people agree. What about
the
help?
Go ahead. In the original Django, they casted like an Italian guy.
Well, they Django. They offered it to Will Smith.
No. I'm talking about like back in like the old Django movie. Because it was readapted, like the one that
Okay. They casted an Italian person?
Yeah, and he had blue eyes.
Wait, it's a Django 1966 film.
Yep.
Starring Franco Nero. But does he play a black slave, though?
Yes.
If it's a slave.
Like, if he didn't play a black slave, how would the entire story make any sense? So it's like, either they don't fucking understand what the story is about, or they thought an Italian man would suffice as a black man.
All right, he's not a black man.
This will suffice.
It's a white guy.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, but he doesn't play black in the movie.
Yeah. But, like, that was their version of blackface back then. Oh, yeah. A really tan white guy.
Oh, well.
A Union soldier turned drifter, a mixed race prostitute. The destructive feud between a gang of Confederate red shirts and a band of Mexican revolutionaries. Oh, Mexican revolution, of course.
Mexican. What do you mean, of course?
I'm saying, of course, they make them a group of Mexicans.
Well, it makes sense.
Does it, though?
Yeah, a bunch of cowboys. You know what I mean?
I think this is probably a good time to bring up the fact that, like, my political views are, like, very in line with, like, turn of the century, like, know-nothing nativist movement. And, like, I actually don't think Irish and Italian people are white. So, and you can print that.
This retired Keegan is wilding, bro.
Oh yeah, no, like I'm retired. I'm a homeowner. I have a kid now.
Did you see the hand movement too? And he said, "And you can print that."
Yeah. Listen, bucko,
you're real sassy now, man.
Listen, Bucko, I don't want any more, you know, back sass, all right?
What about
all audacity?
Right, what about now? The Help? Is The Help a is white savior movie?
Oh,
no, I thought no.
It's a superhero movie.
No, superhero movie. If you could put The Help in either DC or Marvel, which one would you put it in?
It's in DC because it's trash.
Yeah, oh! I agree.
That's coming from someone who loves Batman, but still.
I like The Help, though. It's a really good movie.
Do you, though?
She shits in the pie.
A shit pie.
Yeah.
A shit pie.
A shit pie.
Green Book, we all agree that's a white savior movie.
It is, but I've never seen it.
I've never seen La La Land.
This is the best line I've ever heard from somebody like addressing something like that. In an interview, someone asked the director of Green Book, how do you feel about people calling your movie a white savior movie? And his response was, the only savior I know is Jesus.
Like, that's, I mean, that's the best way to just keep it moving.
Yeah.
I mean, Janice already said it, Passion of the Christ.
That's like top tier.
Yeah, that's... what about Hidden Figures?
That's not...
I've never seen it.
Is it?
They say Hidden Figures because, was it Kevin Costner's character, I think? They say that, like, they make it seem like he's the one that gave them the opportunity, and without him, they wouldn't have been able to do this and that and blah, blah, blah. I've never seen...
I think on a sliding scale of, like, white saviorism, I think that's a lower. Because yeah. I think the initial premise and purpose and... I mean... I say the marketing effort behind that, but that's just like cynicism right there, was focused on like trying to tell the story of those women of color. But even still, yeah, like Kevin Costner plays a big role in that film. So there always has to be some level of that, but you know, on par with three or four of the other films that we've recently talked about that all have come out in like the last two decades. It's, you know, on a grading curve, I think it does pretty well.
What's your best idea, Corey?
I was going to bring up another like underrated white savior movie. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know if that was going to cut into what you were about to say. But a movie that I really liked when I first saw it, but I also haven't rewatched it in a long time, so I need to do that, is The Soloist with Robert Downey Jr. and Jamie Foxx.
You watched that? I didn't even know people watched that movie.
I saw it, yeah.
Have y'all seen that?
No, I remember that being a bomb, though.
It was, but I watched it when I was young. I enjoyed it.
That's a white savior movie?
Yeah, because Robert Downey Jr., he plays a journalist, and he hears about like this, you know, really talented virtuoso cello player, Jamie Foxx, who is now homeless, living in, I think they're in L.A., some part of California. And he goes and finds him, and he like gives him a place to stay and like tries to get him an opportunity to play again for like an orchestra. And Jamie Foxx has schizophrenia, so he has to deal with that at the same time throughout the movie.
Is Blindside the most white of the white savior movies? That is that probably number one, that is top tier white savior?
Yeah,
because they made it, he was just walking down the street and she's like, oh God, we gotta save him. And you just bring this random stranger, this big man, and you have a teenage daughter, and you just bring him into your house. And you want us to believe that that's how it all truly went down. You taught him to read, taught him about football.
And she was reading him bedtime stories with her other little kid. And he's always looking like,
Words? What are words?
I don't know what to do.
What is there any black savior movies?
Huh.
Are there any movies where the black people are saving white people? I wonder if I Google that, if anything comes up for black savior movies.
I don't think so.
Dang, bro.
Yes.
Which
have
one?
Have you seen They Clone Tyrone?
I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, no. We've been meaning to watch that, though.
Oh, it's so good.
But they're not saving white people in that movie.
Oh, true. They're saving themselves. Never mind.
They have. I just looked up on one list. They put a Hitch as a white savior.
That's funny.
I mean, low-key, Hitch is he was 70s rich white man, also the awkward white man. He basically, if Keegan never found Amy, Keegan would be one of Hitch's clients.
Are we looking at the same thing? I'm looking at Watch Mojo, where it says top 10 blacks.
Yeah, favorite. Yeah, Watch Mojo.
These are funny picks.
They got Lean On Me.
They said Predator 2. Oh, Happy Gilmore, because what's the guy's name?
Adam Sandler?
No,
his golf coach. His golf coach. Yeah, the golf coach. Okay. And then, The Equalizer with Denzel Washington. Actually, a lot of Denzel Washington movies might be Black Savior movies. The Book of Eli.
Oh.
The Book of Eli, he was saving the white folk because he had the girl, the chick that played in Modern Family.
Oh, I Am Legend. He saves the whole world.
Yep. He saved all you motherfuckers. Dang, bro. Well, wouldn't... Is Nick Fury? Oh, huh? You said Independence Day?
Yeah.
What about Nick Fury from the Avengers? Is he a Black Savior?
Yeah, I think you could call him that.
Dang, bro. So there's
a... Well, I mean, really, no, you can't, because like he puts in the call to a white woman and she comes and saves everybody.
But he's the one that brought all the Avengers together, though.
I guess.
And he brought all these white superheroes together and they listened to him. And he ain't got no superpower. And they be listening to him like he's in charge with no superpowers. So... Nick Fury's up there. I put Nick Fury, Hitch, Will Smith from Independence Day.
Oh, you can say Men in Black too. Really, a lot of Will Smith movies are Black Savior movies.
They are. You know, I read that someone said there's like Will Smith, he never does movies where his love interest is black. I was like, first Independence Day with Vivica Fox. Early on, he had a Gabrielle Union in Bad Boys 2.
Yeah.
She was I can't think of the other movies, but they basically just brought up Hitch. And I'm like, you name one movie. Rosario Dawson in Bad Boys 2. I mean, Men in Black 2. So I'm just saying, man, like, he got a rough ass. What about Shark Tale? Did he have a black?
Well, so the two like female leads in Shark Tale are Renee Zellweger and Angelina Jolie. But I would argue that even though those fish are voiced by white women, I think they're supposed to be black fish.
Uh-huh.
So that's a little black fish.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I mean the Pursuit of Happiness. He had a black woman, and she left him. When he was broke and struggling. So, fuck her. That. You never seen The Pursuit of Happiness? It's a sad-ass movie for 90% of it until the very end. You're like, damn, finally. Mm-hmm. Something good happened to him. Like, Lord Jesus.
What about Don Cheadle in that movie with Adam Sandler? Is that Rain on Me?
Wait, Don Cheadle and Adam Sandler movie?
That's Rain Over Me.
Ain't over me, yeah.
I've never heard of that. That must be old.
It's like mid-2000s, and it's about Don Cheadle connecting with Adam Sandler, and Adam Sandler lost his wife in 9/11.
Well, it's also a song by Cuban-American rapper Pitbull from his sixth studio album, Planet Pit. So,
oh my God.
Who did it better? Pitbull or Don Cheadle and Adam Sandler, who did it better? I'm gonna say Mr. 305.
Why?
Pitbull doesn't do anything wrong. What's wrong? Because Pitbull went from making strip club songs to being this international suit wearing jet setter guy who hosts all these different award shows and white people love. That's a real what?
I was gonna say I can't stand Pitbull's music.
Well. I haven't heard a Pitbull song in like 15 years. The last Pitbull song I can remember, shit, I have no idea. Mr. 305. To me, Pitbull and Vin Diesel seem like they would be related. He seemed like he'd be Vin Diesel's little cousin. What's the last movie Vin Diesel did that wasn't Fast and Furious?
Oh, that's a good question.
That's a tough one.
Guardians of the Galaxy. He plays Groot.
Okay. And outside of that, what was another one?
Now I have to look up his filmography because I don't know what else he's been in.
The Pacifier? Yeah, it is. The Last Witch Hunter. I don't know what that... Oh, he's done a triple X movie. In...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that.
But he did another one in 2016? That's brand new information.
Bloodshot was the last non-MCU and non-Fast and Furious movie he was in.
So, to take it back around, Janice, do you have a favorite white savior movie?
I already said it.
What'd you say?
Passion of the Christ.
Oh, my God. You know, I remember my mother took us to the movies to go see Passion of the Christ.
My fucking parents made me go with them. And I was like, this shit fucking sucks. Like, terrible movie, man.
And what was I in, like, eighth grade or something like that, I think? And I just remember so many people being upset. And I didn't understand why so many people was upset until I got older. But it was like a lot of Jewish people that said he made it seem like Jewish people killed Jesus or whatever. I realized growing up, I'm glad I grew up without social media, so I wasn't aware all this shit was going on, to be honest.
Also, let me say something about that. People,
oh, hell. Let me say something. The Jews and the Black...
No, listen. So, yeah, that's an anti-Semitic trope that, like, the Jews killed Jesus. Here's the thing about that. Jesus was a Jewish man who lived around Jewish people. So if anyone was going to kill him, yeah, it would be other Jews because that's just how things work. It's like
when they say black on black crime.
Exactly. Or it's like saying, you know, Abraham Lincoln was killed by Americans. Like, no shit, he lives here. Who else was going to kill him?
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, if I live in a neighborhood that is 100% black and then I die in my neighborhood and I get killed in my neighborhood, it's either a black person or a police officer. So it could not be a black person, but it most likely is a black person.
Okay, so, technically that might be true, but that statement doesn't mean anything significant.
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't at all. That was a great, great way of putting it, Corey. That made a lot of sense.
Professor, I should right have here. A soundboard.
Oh, should you I, should.
Should I do that?
Yeah,
should I guess I try and do that. Let's make a soundboard.
Okay, Cinco de Mayo in the background.
Always a party.
You know, Janice, you really could trick people into thinking that you're Puerto Rican, though.
Why?
I mean, they're basically the same.
Filipinos and Puerto Ricans?
That's where you're wrong, my friend.
I think they're a little different. Right.
There's just the language, but everything else is the same.
Yeah.
Janice, if you put like a little red bandana on and how I'll be wearing it and have it twisted in the front as well. Like,
I mean, when I was younger, people used to mistake me often for like Latina. I feel like people still do, but they just don't say anything.
Yeah.
But
yeah, especially you could be if you're in LA or Texas or New York, they're really gonna think that you're Hispanic.
Yeah,
because the Philippines were colonized by Spain, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's why y'all are so similar.
Right.
Yeah, they're hella similar. That's where the hell did Key go?
Yeah, an
emergency to his child.
Who has kids these days? That's so just. You know who was who wanted to be a black savior? Bill Cosby, because he was always dissing black people, so he acting like he had to save us. You know who Twitter treats like a black savior? Beyonce.
Huh.
There's a whole bunch of people you could have said for that. I thought you were about to say Dr. Umar.
Kevin Samuels, Dr. Umar. Well, Kendrick said, I am not your savior.
Yeah.
Kendrick told us, and Kendrick just be mad at his. I saw a video of him on tour in Japan, and it's just wild seeing all of them know every word to his song. Like, that's crazy, though. Oh, now it's a big thing where during his 50 years of hip hop, there's a lot of Asian people on Twitter saying that they helped invent hip-hop.
What, you mean like K-pop people?
I don't know if it's K-pop people or not, but I've been seeing a lot of their posts saying that they had a hand in creating hip-hop.
No.
And did you know there is Asian drill music now?
There's drill music in every country now.
I already don't like drill music, so I know I ain't gonna like it in another language.
Racist.
Chicago drill is good, but once London got a hold of it, it just went off the rails.
Keegan, do you know anything about drill music?
Absolutely. It's one of my top three genres. Don't ask me any more questions, though. I would talk your ear off.
Who's your favorite drill artist?
Probably if I really had to think, it would probably
be with you.
Oh my god.
But, I mean, I can understand how, like, there's a lot of, you know, differing, you know, viewpoints and all that. So
there's not a lot of viewpoints for drill music.
How about you shut up, Bill?
the only one is how they argue and they'd be like, Chicago drill music is better than New York drill music.
Yeah, which it is.
Keegan, which one do you like better? Chicago drill or New York drill?
Or London. Which one of those three?
Probably K drill.
Okay.
Kind of that Korean drill, you know?
Because it mixes K-pop, right?
Side note, I was listening to an interesting podcast by NPR where they're talking about, like,
look at me, I'm the one, I listen to NPR.
But yeah, they were talking about how black soldiers stationed in Korea sort of taught the Korean people about hip-hop and R&B, and that led to K-pop eventually.
I read an article about that. I also read an article about all the soldiers stationed there had a whole bunch of kids because they was having sex with those women, and then they ended up going back to America, so a lot of those kids don't know their father because the woman didn't know how to get in touch with them.
Oh, damn.
Isn't that wild, though? But, like, to think about, like, because they've always said that, like, Asian women, like, especially back in those countries, they love black men. And I, as a friend, I have a friend that was in the military that was stationed in Korea, and he would tell them that they just assumed he was a basketball player. And he would just fucking them all, basically. But, yes, I saw an article on Twitter about that, Ja'Cory, what you was talking about. Which is very interesting, but it makes sense too, though. How? Sure. Because it's like how did that become a thing?
I mean, historically speaking, that's just it's common in blues. It's common in, I mean, there's just like a lot of cultural things even within the United States where
Elvis Presley.
I mean, people talk about like Southern cooking, but like, we owe a lot of what are staples of like Southern comfort food to like black, like so black
Southern, recipe. Basically soul food, Southern comfort food basically just comes from the slaves used to just get thrown all the leftovers and like, basically here, nigga, figure out how to cook with this. And that's how like chitlins is a thing, and or why historically black people, especially in the South, seasoned the shit out of their food because they had the nasty stuff and they had to put all those seasonings on the food because it was disgusting. And you had to season the hell out of it to make it actually taste good, which we don't got to do that shit no more, y'all. It's a new day. We don't have to do it anymore.
Which, fun fact, macaroni and cheese, as we know it in the U.S., was created by one of Thomas Jefferson's slaves.
One of his slaves or one of his baby mamas?
No, one of his slave chefs. He brought him to France and they tried a dish with like noodles and cheese. And Jefferson told his slave chef, learn how to make this. And he did, but he put his own spin to it. And that's what we consider macaroni and cheese now.
That's wild. And black people love some mac and cheese. But what I've also learned is white people love mac and cheese also, but they just eat it as a meal and not as a side dish.
So that is something I picked up from my mom's family because I have that habit too. I like to eat Kraft mac and cheese by itself.
That is wild as hell because Keegan used to do that at work all the time.
Oh, yeah, I bring in a bunch of Costco leftover mac and cheese, and Will would be like, what are you eating with that? Nothing. You see how much this is? An entire bowl of mac and cheese. No, Keegan, that's a side. It's a side. But that reminds me, since you were talking about seasoning, you know, like these last couple weeks since I've been retired now, I've been really kind of getting back, you know, into cooking and all that. And, like, have y'all heard of this seasoning, man? Like, it is spicy. Like,
have you heard of crushed red pepper?
Man, let me tell you, crushed red pepper, this is wild. Like,
this new seasoning that just came out.
Have y'all heard of this?
I'm gonna show it's like salt or something.
I just knew he was gonna show like Creole seasoning, or something.
Old Bay.
He's like, oh, I haven't made my way to that. I'm gonna get there eventually.
No, that's too low hanging fruit. I gotta add some fun and variety on it.
Old Bay. All right, we're gonna take a little break, and then we're gonna come back.